Tonight's devotion is entitled Crisis Management, taken from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 to 37. Crisis Management. Four thoughts. Crisis at hand, calmness to seek God's help, claiming the resource of prayer, courage to trust God's power, to move in His own time and His own way. Verses 18 to 20, 21 to 30, 31 to 33, and 34 to 38. Life can be fraught with dangers and crisis situations. Oftentimes, when a crisis hits us, we are at a loss how to respond. As a child of God, we know that in all situations that befall us in life, God knows and understands and is still in control. Although the situation in our own assessment seems to have spun out of control. This is a phenomenon that comes in the life of God's people. Oftentimes, we do not understand the circumstances and situations that come upon us. We may not know or understand why we are put in that predicament, but we can seek God for direction, how to respond. What are the resources available at our disposal the next time something comes upon you unexpected? How would you respond? We have here the story of this godly lady in Shunem who loved God and ministered to God's servant Elisha and was rewarded by God with a son. However, some years later, the son suddenly died. And this was the story how she managed that crisis. So as we said, four thoughts. The crisis at hand, the calmness to seek God's help. Whenever something comes upon us, we need to realize that God is still in control. The situation is not spinning out of hand. And we need to have that restfulness, that calmness in our heart. Whatever that comes, to know and to be sensitive to the leading of God and to have that peace and assurance from God and claiming the resource of prayer. We don't know what's happening, but we can seek God for His wisdom to understand why, we may not understand in many situations the reason for the happening that has befallen us, but we are able by prayer to seek a way, a direction from God to help us. And finally, from verses 35 to 38, the courage to trust God's power to move in His own time and His own way. Verses 35 to 38. The crisis at hand, verses 18 to 20. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and died. We recall the story of Elisha's encounter with this woman in Shunem. Where is Shunem? Shunem is located about 10 miles from Mount Carmel. Not a very long journey within traveling distance. And she often see Elisha coming by their village or coming by their little town. And so she, being someone who understood the value of Elisha's work, the ministry that God has entrusted to him, knew that there's something that she can do to help this servant of God, so that the ministry that God has entrusted to him may be advanced. And so, whenever he sees Elisha coming, she would bid him to come into her house and prepare some bread for the weary traveler to refresh him. And as time goes, she thought, together with her husband, to minister more effectively by building a little room from, you know, whatever resources that they have, so that when Elisha comes, he could also have a shelter. He can stay there. It was to be a resting place for him. And that provided much comfort for Elisha. As we, you know, as we have been studying, the climate is very hostile, right, to God's people. Those who want to walk with God, well, they face many oppositions because there was gross apostasy in Israel. And so this is the background, this is what's happening. And God wants us to see how this woman understood the needs. And she stepped forward to provide hospitality. And God rewarded her with a son for her gracious hospitality. And we saw this in verses 16 and 17 last week. About this season, Elisha said to the woman, "According to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." Now this is significant because this was their conversation, right? When Elisha said to her that God will give you, reward you with a son. And she said, "Do not deceive me. Is it really true that you're going to reward me with a son to someone that would help me in my old age?" And the woman conceived and bare a son. And at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So the story goes that some years later, when the boy was in the field to meet his father, that he suddenly felt great pain in his head. We don't know what is the cause of his headache, but the father immediately responded, instructed for the child to be brought to his mother in their home. Someone quickly bring the child to the mother so that the mother could see what is happening and perhaps try to nurse the child. And as the child sat on her knees, hours ticked by, and at noontime suddenly he died. What great devastation for a mother to witness the death of his own son. She must have been seeking God in prayer for wisdom. What to do in this crisis? And when a crisis before us, it can be any situation. We want to learn some, lessons in which we can help ourselves, right? By abiding in God's ways in a crisis. So we said that this woman responded in faith. You would be able to see how she purposely kept that from her husband, so the husband didn't know. She brought him the dead child quietly to Elisha's room, the prophet's chamber, placed him on the bed, then closed the door, right, and said to the husband, "Set up, get me the transport, and get someone to escort me. I'm going to see the prophet Elisha." somehow God had granted her the wisdom, granted her the calmness to know what to do. And you see in hindsight that indeed this was what God wanted her to do. We know that all things work for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. She has been spending time loving God and loving the people of God. Could anything bad befall her? How would you define that? Well, she could not understand the mystery of God's providence. And oftentimes, you know, in many situations, we don't understand. And we have to rest with that in mind, that we may never know, but we know by faith that God is in control. So there is that calmness, there is that restfulness you see in the heart of this lady, how she was able to respond in faith to the situation. Right? There is a presence of mind. She had a presence of mind. Right? She knew that God is in charge and God knows. Okay. So this leads us to the second thought. How she calmly trusted God's guidance in this time of need. Okay, that's the second thought from 21 to 31. Calmness to seek God's help. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. You see, she did not panic. She knew what she was doing. She must have uttered prayer to God to grant her wisdom what to do in view of the crisis. You recall David's prayer in time of crisis. He pleaded with God to show mercy to him, to direct his path. He understands that God's way, that God will make a way for him. He examines his life, confesses his sin, sought the Lord's mercy. Psalm 25. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. What a prayer to learn, right? In times of crisis, to utter, to keep, to be able to keep calm, right, as you cast your burden upon the Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. This morning we were studying the life of Jacob, how he was asked to go out of his house by father and mother to find a wife in Haran, and how he had to make that 500-mile journey alone. And when he made that journey, as he goes out, God's presence was with him. God assured him that he will be with him as he goes through that journey. And we were looking at Psalm 25, how he must have sought God for guidance, because you know he would be facing danger, right, in the wilderness, in his wilderness travel, a long journey, nothing over his head, right? He had to rely upon God to protect him. Which way to go? What path to take? And he needed to learn how to trust in the Lord, how to seek the wisdom of God day by day, moment by moment. Right, there is a chorus that we often sing to encourage our own heart. I know the Lord will make a way for me. We know the tune that we sing together. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I look to Him in prayer, darkest night will turn to day. I know the Lord will make a way for me. We have to realize that when we are in a crisis situation, that God will make a way for you. And you must have that faith to trust God, to know that surely this is not the end. God will surely allow you to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And sometimes in a crisis, in a severe crisis, we do not do all that David did. No time to pray like he did so elaborately. We may be so shocked, so grieved, not knowing what to pray. But we realize that when we are a child of God, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to pray on our behalf and to keep us by His divine power. Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So in that moment of crisis, you don't know what the will of God is. Oftentimes, you know, your prayer consists of unutterable words, but you know that God cares, and His Spirit is with you, and the Spirit of God will direct you and show you His will. And that is the assurance that we have from God's Word. The Apostle Paul reveals this to us, that the Holy Spirit comes to our aid in our spiritual weaknesses, especially in a crisis situation. Oftentimes we do not know what to pray, how we should pray, but the blessed Spirit helps us by interceding for us with deep, inarticulate pleadings on our behalf. And, you know, the prayer, the Spirit's tarrying for us is not something haphazard, right? But it's something that is consistent, continuous, and is constructive. And that we may be built up, we may be strengthened during that time of crisis. And we cannot fully fathom the inner work of the Holy Spirit, but we realize that we are not struggling alone. Okay? So, you know, for God's people, we know that we are in safe hands. God is with us, right? And the Holy Spirit will sustain us by His divine presence, helping us to overcome every evil thought, right? To go the way of the flesh, to go the way of the world. As the old saying goes, if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside, you can stand any kind of battle on the outside. The human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills. We are not left alone to fend for ourselves. When the Holy Spirit begins to indwell the believer at the new birth, it will do so until we are presented before God, perfected at Christ's coming. And so the Lord wants us to have that assurance, right, that He is with you and we are not struggling alone. And so she placed, this Shunammite woman placed the child on Elisha's bed in the prophet's chamber, right, without telling the husband. that her son had died, God gave her the calmness of mind to do his will. And it was to seek God's prophet for help. And you find that in every situation, the solution may be different. What will it be? Well, the Lord will guide you to the divine solution, and you will experience the presence of God with you, helping you after the whole situation. Right, so she urgently sought to meet Elisha and requested that transportation be arranged. And she knew in her heart, by God's prompting, this was what she needed to do. Verse 24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her husband, to her servant, "Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So, in comely, quick steps, she rode on a donkey to Mount Carmel, where Elisha was. Verse 25. And she came and came, she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that she said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." Elisha saw her afar off. He understood that there must be some crisis. It's not festive season, as it were. Why would she be looking for him, looking out for him? But he did not know what was the reason. God did not reveal it to him. Right, so he sent his servant Gehazi to find out what happened and to usher her to him. And you notice the response of the lady to Gehazi's question. She did not reveal the matter of the son's death to Gehazi. Dr. John Wickham made this comment. He said, "Somehow, the Shunammite woman knew that Elisha's servant Gehazi lacked depth of faith that Elisha possessed. And so, hurrying to Mount Carmel, 10 miles to the west, where she and others had received from Elisha systematic instruction in God's word in times past, she insisted on seeing the prophet himself in her hour of deepest need." So when you are in a crisis, and you are a man of faith, you are a child of God, and you are praying to God, you'll find that God will give you the sensitivity to do the right thing, to find the help that you need. And you know, God somehow was able to you know, impart to her that no, not this man, Gehazi. So she did not reveal anything. And notice the insensitive actions of Gehazi to hinder the woman from seeing Elisha. Verse 27. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Very strange behavior, isn't it? Why would he, you know, obviously this woman come, you know, with a genuine need. Right? And look at the way she's coming to plead with Elisha. How can it be that, you know, she's just coming for fun? Of course not. Sorry?
Because she answered him previously.
Yeah. Yes, it's true that. But you would see also, right, that this man Gehazi, right, is not a godly person, right? Not compassion. Not only that, but there are certain spiritual weaknesses. You know, some commentators compared him as likened to Judas Iscariot, that kind of a person. Right? So, our Lord Jesus, you know, didn't even look at him, Judas. Right? But for Peter, Jesus looked at him and said, "Please come back." So Gehazi is a different kind of person, as we will see later on, right? A different character. And you see that, you know, instead of advancing the work, he was hindering the work. And that's something that we have to be very, very careful about. Right? There will be more things that we're going to say next week concerning this man Gehazi, right? That we may not follow his example. So God directed her to meet Elisha. She did. And she knew that this child was given to her as a result of Elisha's prayer. And so she sought Elisha's help to inquire of God what she is now to do. Right. Proverbs 10:22 comes to mind. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Right. When God blesses us, he doesn't bless us, you know, and behind take a knife and you know, trust through. No, not like that. God's blessing is always, you know, true and sincere and good, you know. So she understood by faith that it cannot be. God must be working out something, right? And she had that kind of a faith to trust God, to believe, you know, that God is working out something good, right? She was someone who had been obeying God, following God, doing the will of God. Why would God not bless her and, you know, help her? We need to have that kind of assurance in our own heart, right, when we go about life. To have that, you know, firm footing in our steps to know what we are doing. Right, and have that kind of a firm conviction as we walk with God that, you know, we are able to, you know, take confident steps in life. And that was what she did. Okay? And she said, did I desire a son for my Lord? Did not I say, do not deceive me? So she sought clarification from Elisha to understand God's will in this matter. And truly, in times of crisis, God directs us to his word for wisdom. And he directs us to spiritual men to provide us with counsel. Wisdom can come in many ways, right? But you find that the source of wisdom inadvertently comes from the Word of God. And so if we have been acquainted with the will of God, the Word of God, you'll find that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind his Word during those times when you need it to instruct you, to give you wisdom. And that's why we spend time knowing the will of God, studying the Word of God, right, in many situations, in the life of the various biblical characters. You see married circumstances, situations, and how they respond. And from it, you learn wisdom that you can apply. So, she sought clarification from Elisha. And Elisha instructed Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. So Elisha was bid, right, to go to see and do something for this child. Okay, and he sent Gehazi. Right? I quote here again John Wickham. He says, Gehazi, whose spiritual shallowness was later fully exposed, 2 Kings 5, was completely helpless in the presence of death, even with Elisha's equipment and methods at his disposal. This is an important point. God is a glorious person and cannot be manipulated by sinful men under any circumstances. Claiming the resource of prayer, verses 32 to 33. So we said, firstly, the crisis at hand. Then we saw the calmness to seek God's help. And then we see here claiming the resource of prayer. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twin and prayed unto the child. So the Holy Spirit turns prayer, as one pastor, John Blanchard, said, from activity to into energy. Right, as the old saying goes, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Elisha demanded privacy for fervent prayer. In crisis situations, we need to be very prayerful, to spend time alone with God. Elisha prayed earnestly for God's help, that God be merciful to save this child. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One writer says, to spend an hour worrying on our knees is not prayer. Oftentimes in a crisis situation, we panic and we are worried. Although we seem to be praying, but we are not. Indeed, there are times when it is our duty, having committed a problem to God in prayer, to stop praying and to trust and to do the necessary work to arrive at a solution. And this was what she did. She sought the Lord. God gave her the instruction, and she began to do what she needed to do. Okay. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Like Elisha was not doing his own wishes, but he was doing God's will. Right. When there's no hope, as one pastor says, on the horizontal level, there is always hope on the vertical level. Adrian Rogers. John 15:7-8 says, If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, and ye shall bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So Elisha's life was like Elijah's life, one that is dependent upon God. Remember when we were studying the life of Elijah, how he prayed and rain came? Right? He went to Ahab and said, there won't be any rain for several years. Then he went again and he said, you know, rain is going to come. God answered his prayer. He understood God's will. Right? And God's will, he was fully absorbed to do the will of God in his ministry. And so Elisha tarried with God in prayer, and God answered his prayer. Our fourth thought, courage to trust God's power to move in his own time and his own way. Verses 34-38. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. You see many instances when Jesus healed the sick. Many different ways. Right? You see how God used different ways to save different people. Right? We have a brother who had stage 3 to stage 4 cancer. Lung cancer. Right? And he was in trouble. He had to go through radiotherapy, chemotherapy. But when he was there at the hospital, you know, he met downstairs a famous Chinese physician from Beijing. And, you know, a friend of his, another friend of ours also, who had the same condition, preceded him 6 months. And so introduced him to this physician. Both of them were cured. It's about 6-7 years now. Just saw him walking in the park recently. God delivered both of them. And God used the Chinese physician, you know, to cure. And this was the man who cured our Prime Minister also. So happened that he was there, and they were there at that time, and the cure was given. It was an answer to prayer. We could not orchestrate anything. Courage to trust God's power to move in His own time and His own way. And so the child, he stretched himself upon the child, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the eyes opened. And he called Gehazi, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was coming to him, he said, "Take up thy son." Having prayed, we need to know that God is still on the throne. We are to put our eyes upon God and rest in Him. Rest in His love, that He will do us good. Whatever the outcome may be, we trust God to work out His will in His time, in His way. And so oftentimes we may not be able to understand what is going on. But we have God's resource of prayer, His word, and the Holy Spirit to help us. A miracle was wrought to revive the dead child. Hallelujah. God's name was praised. Crisis at hand. Calmness to seek God's help. Claiming the resource of prayer. Courage to trust God's power to move in His own time and His own way. May the Lord help us to do His will and to be able to seek His help and receive and experience His glory. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy in granting us Thy word to teach us how we ought to face difficulties in life. O God, may Thou be merciful and gracious to help us to imbibe Thy wisdom, to look to Thee, to have faith, to trust in Thee. Indeed, we serve a faithful God who will not abandon us to our problems, but will surely come and receive us and help us in our time of need. So Lord, may Thou help us, Thy people, to rest assured in Thy presence and in Thy power. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.